Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about what how we choose our stories. Oh, one more. Sandy Fetter. We introduced ourselves.
Sandy Fetter from Stanford. I'm here with the Gases Workshop.
Yeah. But before I wanted to chat about how we pick our stories, because it's always probably the hardest part of our job is we get information on all these stories and we have to pick just a very few that we can actually write about. We have limited staff and the staff has limited time. So we can't write about everything, and it's just hard. So, I mean, before you leave here today, I'd like to get your ideas on what we've done right and wrong. But just as to kick things off, I thought I'd have you help me pick out some stories this week. So I have some press releases from Nature and from the American Institute of Physics and from a website called Eureka Alert. And do you want to do this in twos?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, two. You want to work with, well, three, okay. Actually, I think there's a few too many here. I thought if you worked with twos, some of you could, huh? Yeah, there's a bunch of these, so. Just, you know, work it out. Maybe you retreat a separate one and bring up your favorites. And what I want you to come out with is a prioritized list of the top three. based on limited information, okay, so it's like, yeah, it's probably biased. So in some cases, you know, what we have to do is we only can have time to skim the title or the little press release on each one. That was left from the previous meeting. And then the next step we take is to call people and say, what about this? And some, huh?
Yeah, can you give us two copies?
Oh, sure.
There are three of us. How many are in there? How many do you have?
I think there's about 20. Okay. If it's too many, then maybe you want to.
Do you use our own sitting prizes or pretend we can
Okay, well, everybody has biases. So, like, there's a fellow on our staff who's got a back. He's pretty new, and he's a background in string theory, and he always sort of leans toward the ones in theory, and he hasn't done anything in geophysics yet, but. But try not to be the favorite your own things, but you'll have more familiarity with them. Guess I better do this too, huh? You know, each one of the team might just read half and then sell his choices to the other half.
Are we supposed to do? We're
supposed to pick three. So we're going to do it as a pair, right?
Yes. Well, we have slow news days. Okay.
I don't know. I
have the narrative. Okay, does one of your group. What?
All of them.
They're all possibilities. They're all possibilities. So just come up with three. You know what? We're picking stories. And
well, there's three of us. You can join.
Yeah. You can break off one of those. It was someone from there to be your partner.
Well, I don't know what it was. Letter.
Okay, we'll work together.
Give me a prioritized list of the top three. About 20. But if you're working with one other person, maybe each read 10 and then convince each other of the ones you like. Do you need more?
They're okay. Yeah, one more here.
And just these I took out. How many pages do you have? 5 pages?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, 6. Oh. Oh, yeah, I see. Okay. Okay, here's another set.
I don't know.
Well, I'll give you like 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, okay.
Is this one story?
No, it's like highlights from the quantum gas meeting, the Daymont meeting, I think. These are previews, yeah.
But that would be...
They're equivalent to press releases, though, because...
So about 5, 6 separate.
Yeah, they're 6 separate ones. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. I thought that
cute,
was
cute,
too.
Cute.
But I also thought this one was really interesting. I don't know if it's real, but I thought it was.
I'm missing a page. Can I borrow this one?
I know.
Well, but that's part of the decision we have to make. If it's already pretty well covered by the press, do we still... Is there something we can add to it?
Yeah, but probably not scientifically.
The New York Times I thought was really confusing because he kept saying earth shine. No, he didn't use that term.
Reflectivity
is clear, but he kept saying the brightness or the sunshine increased or decreased. It wasn't clear whether he meant reflected sunshine or sunshine. And I was like, which one?
Yeah.
I couldn't read that article, and Ken Chang usually does a better job.
So I think we have three. I don't know what we're doing. These two, and where's the...
This one's just...
Okay, so I think the one was...
Like Jubin. I think this one.
No, what was it? I think she took it. That one, right.
Well, not this whole one.
No, just this one.
This
one?
This one. Of course, it's the whole program we have on here.
But fine. This,
you don't, I mean, this is just the beginning, like the story.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, from here, then I would check it out, make sure the work is good,
right.
and the people think it's good. Then I have to make sure nobody else did it.
Right.
earlier, and then we, the story really grows. Sometimes the story we do doesn't look much like the story that they do here.
Yeah, I understand.
I just want to know you on stuff.
Can I just pick up this one and just?
Yeah, I think no, this one, yeah.
This one.
This one? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, better.
Yeah, I mean.
That was the first time.
That's, I would have found that was. I mean, it's cool.
This might be special. I found, this one's very interesting, because I was wondering why the cat comes. This one, I think, features the picture.
They're ready to. Is it? Three. So is this exciting stuff, this when stuff?
I like it.
Is it strings in the same sense you think of strings?
Or one dimension, I'm not sure.
But they have to do with spins, right? Yeah. Hi. I tell you, what we're just doing now is I gave them a bunch of press releases, and they're picking out the top three stories.
The first one was the.
Yeah. Okay, when your group is done, just let me know. You're done.
I don't know what the order is.
So maybe we have to rank them.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
Yeah, I'd like you to rank them.
Oh, dear.
You can be arbitrary if you want.
This one, that one.
Yeah. Okay, you guys are done? Okay. Well, you know, would there's always the dartboard method.
I think we have different very different biases. So.
You get together for a half hour and decide what the story of the week is.
We do that, but only after we've each put in some research on each topic. So we bring possibilities to the table. The problem we have in our meetings is that by the time you've explored a story and you've talked to people and you kind of get into it, and then it comes down to one guy in particular comes to the meeting and he right from the get-go, he's selling his story. He's going to make sure you don't talk him out of it.
So do you have people that almost always do particular areas of physics? Or do you sort of switch around?
I think my feeling is that everyone should be prepared to write about anything at any time, because we never know. It could be 1 week, three really exciting things happen all in condensed matter. Mm-hmm. And we have to write about those all. People definitely have their preferences. There's one guy who almost always writes about anything with neutrinos in it, and astrophysics, and another person who's pretty new, and he's much more comfortable with string theory and other theory things. His first paragraph is his current story mentions ITP, KTP. I'm going to I'll show it to you later.
This is the story.
This is about Ed Witten's new. Yeah.
Or the twisters.
That's part of it, yeah.
It's not the thing that was mentioned in here.
No, that's something else.
No, that's more of an essay, I think. Yeah.
That didn't seem not new.
Yeah.
Weird. Release.
Yeah, well.
Nature pushes itself.
Yeah. Well, that's part of their weekly news release. That's what I see every week. There's highlights.
Does science push itself?
Oh, yes.
Energetically?
Yeah, the, both Science and Nature have weekly press releases, and they highlight certain things in the magazine that they, and there's a lot of reporters who actually look for that to come out, and it simplifies their job. They take something and they just, they almost build their week around the Nature press release. As soon as it comes out, they pick something and they go write about it. Doesn't matter if something more significant came out in someplace else. Nature and Science make it so easy for them. Okay, well.
Why are we all more cynical?
So, they do a release on every article in the
book? No. It's not that automatic. Because there's quite a few articles that they highlight.
The Science of Nature, or the Nature of Science.
You can have both those phrases in there. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, well, I'm ready enough.
I'm happy to.
Okay, ready enough? You ready enough?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just start with you guys. Just tell me one that you picked, and we'll see if there's. What do you.
Well, we haven't had any discussions this. I'm not quite through with this, so if you start on the other end, then.
Okay.
Okay, so I think that we decided that our first rank was the frontiers in cold quantum gases. There's.
Even though it doesn't mention it yet.
Cold gases.
It was really hard, I think, for us to rank that. So we picked three pretty easily, but ranking that.
Okay, you just. I'm just going to give it one.
That's
one.
Fine. And then the second and third, yeah, I think we have no idea. So we like the unexpected changes in Earth's climate observed on the dark side of the moon.
Okay, that's a technique called Earth Shine.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the third one that we liked was the slow light fast information.
Okay, next.
No,
you got a defector there.
Well, I thought the coal gas was just, what will be discussed?
Okay.
Yeah, but by the time this comes out, we will have one.
For the climate change, it was more about nature, I think, it was interesting.
Climate change is the methane thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Methane released from the ocean bed. Okay.
And I saw these nanoparticles eliminating brain tumors after MRI. That was very.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one as well. So this is the brain tumor.
Potential, real science and real application.
Okay.
And then I thought this interlocked rings was kind of a cute thing that,
Okay, so down here I'm going to put some of the criterion I'm hearing.
This is kind of just
cute application. We'll go back and talk about some of the criterion, but I'll put that down while we're talking about it. You can get a freebie. What?
I would choose the Earth Shine and the nanoparticles.
So they're down there. Okay. Are you guys?
So we didn't rank them, but
okay.
Why is the methane release?
The what?
The methane
release. Okay.
Another is the interlocking.
Okay, we'll take away the ranks here. Nobody wanted to do that. Interlocking rings, okay.
Just a picture.
And you could put one more light shine.
Yeah.
Okay, Earth Shine. Okay. You guys had get one more.
Nanoscale contact occupation adaptation.
With the nano, this was the adhesion thing?
The little,
the gecko. Okay. We'll put geckos.
Gecko nano engineering.
Gecko, nano gecko. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it? Those are your top two. Okay. Sandy?
You like the methane.
Methane, okay.
But why is that physics?
No, oh, David.
Is it David, supposed to be physics?
Well, it's any. No, wait. No, American Institute of Physics represents 10 member societies, one of which is the American Geophysical Union. So, yeah, geophysics.
Anyway.
It's geophysics, it's climate change, it's earth tectonics. Anyway. I had it on my list. Go on.
I kind of like the one about Alaska and the Yellowstone.
Okay. That's a geyser earthquake connection, right?
I just thought that was it.
Okay.
What was the one you
have?
Yeah, it was the entangling
the
photon of an atom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one
we
release
of
the.
That's, is that this one?
No, it's a different one.
Oh, okay.
It's stuff from Michigan. It's on entangling a photon of an atom in a trap.
Okay.
Which is actually an interesting issue. Well, you only deal with what you're given. It's funny, like most weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we do have slow months, and we have to, you know, find something or else make it sound exciting. Is everything on there that you would want to be? Okay, so we can, and I would have put methane release, because I think it's an interesting hypothesis that this methane release could have affected the atmosphere, and they've been looking for ways that, because there's huge reserves under there. And we do have to pay attention to geophysics. I was sort of, I liked Earthshine too. And then I was having a hard time between, I think I was leaning toward this slow light, fast information, although we've written about that. So now let's talk about some of the criteria you used. I mean, they're just cute or just interesting.
But no, these are all things that we have zero competence in judging.
You think I do?
I know. It's interesting that the ones we find most interesting. It's like the new student effect, you know?
Oh.
In other words,
so there was some condensed matter stuff in there, but not.
The common thing when you choose bus stops, people who are just fresh out of no record. Because we have no way of really judging them.
Yeah.
There's an objective reason for that standard and objective definition of new is in fact.
Yeah, but to some extent, that's what new is. But we have, you know, we're not in a position, if we were expert, so, you know, we tend to perhaps discount what we know more about.
But, I think those of us on the staff actually find it the other way. Many of us, once we've started writing about something, like I remember the first time someone said I was covering squeezed light. And when I first read about it, I thought, ooh, that sounds complicated. I'm not sure what that's all about. And then it turned out to be a really important technique and very interesting story. And the same thing about single atom transistor. But I mean, there was this Coulomb blockade thing, I didn't know anything about it. But once we do one story, then your eyes perk up, your ears perk up, and you pay attention because you have some background, you can better judge the next thing that comes along. So, as I said, there's this one fellow on our staff whose comfort levels really, he might do too much neutrinos, but,
well,
you know, he's...
Also makes his job easier.
And he has contacts. Also, that's the other thing. Once you cover one thing, like high TC, now people will call me about high TC stuff because I've covered it. They know my name. What are some of the other criterion that you applied? Or what? Okay, let me say.
It's always if it's potentially important in the sense of what it's like.
Okay.
Historic issue.
Okay.
You know, it's been a long-standing question or whatever it may. Change some
Okay, so new. So actually, we could find, if we made phone calls about this, that maybe it's not new. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff with atom photon entanglement, and I'd like to know how that would relate to others. So part of your writing this criteria, what would you ask about it? What kinds of things would you want to know about it if you were to make a call?
I mean, one example, at least over the last year, there have been a series of articles about this gecko nano stuff, both in
Stanford. Yeah.
Because they were some of the people were working on it. And so it's not clear to me why there's a press release now. Because this has been around, I think, for at least a year.
Oh, okay.
And so you never, I mean, the trouble is when you just get a press release, it's very hard to make that judgment without a lot of paperwork.
Right. And we have to do that. I mean, that's the first thing we have to ask is it new? I mean, it really, really has to be new and stand out. Any other criterion that you did it make a difference? Yeah.
Has to be explainable. I mean,
that's a good point, and I would put a question mark at the end. Twister theory. I just yeah. Whitten has this.
What hasn't stopped Brian Green?
Well, do you think Whitten pretty easily describe Twister theory at a level that the average Physics Today person could read?
No, because he's written a story, right?
Yeah, and I read it. I've read the first draft yesterday, and I just felt like I was bogged down in all the math details. So it is really hard, and that's the question. I mean, I think that's. This is a real sticky point for us because we don't want to rule out any physics that's significant. I wrote about the duality in string theory, and that was really hard to write, but it was really important, and so we need to write about that. And we do lean toward. I think we do lean towards the things that are easier to explain, partly because, especially if you wrote a press release, it's harder to say something about it that will a level of people will interest. But so that's a question, you know, how there's any other criterion that you can think of that did it matter? I know Subir, I think you liked one of these because it had. Applications to medicine?
Yeah, the nanoparticle to tumor, that was, it seemed like a very clever thing. It seemed something real rather than just high.
Oh, okay. Okay, but we do find that, at least in our reader surveys, people like to hear about medicine, medical applications, and they like to hear about the environment. About energy things, those are so we pay attention to that. Some of the things that we haven't that you mentioned, you know, you had a blank slate, you had no constraints. We do try to balance our coverage. So if we've had too much particle physics or of one thing or another that leans us, we say, well, it's been a long time since we had a geophysics story, so we might like one of these. We might say we've really covered bosons and fermions so much, maybe we downplay this. So we have to apply those criteria too. Let me ask you about that though. There are some things that we really cover a lot when the field is hot. Like for a while it was high temperature superconductor. And then the people on the staff who didn't have a condensed physics background after a while said, you know, that's enough. You raise the bar each time you do a story within the year. You said, well, I don't know whether we want to have enough. I mean, do you think we've had too much lately on Bose-Einstein condensates and condensed Fermi gases? Sabir's smiling. Do you all have any idea? You don't have a strong reaction that we've covered too much. What? Well, we only have one here from the quantum gases, unless you, unless you.
It is what the field is featuring.
Yeah.
And so I think some colors are appropriate.
Yeah.
But it seems to me in physics today, you've had a series of things about it.
We have had, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think this, my reading it through this thing on the cold gas frontier from the Damont meeting is basically what, most of it is what has been covered, I guess, over the last couple of years in physics today in various places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever worry, how far do you feel you need to extend this broad coverage of physics? I mean, there are certain areas of physics which most people would think not much is happening, and you presumably don't feel that you need to cover it just because of generality or uniform coverage, do you?
We do think we should cover it. I mean, we have a list of subfields, and every year when we make our annual report, I'll go down and I'll check off things in each sub. We actually had something on turbulence in the last year. Yeah. Now, there was something on your sheets about nuclear physics.
I know. I was going to ask. Nuclear physics is at least many people feel is less exciting. Mature. Is
yeah, but they said nuclear physics has changed character, so you do have things on break.
Yeah. I mean, it merges into part of it. It's a high energy end of nuclear physics. But
thing on strontium, very deformed nucleus, I mean.
There's a lot of people working on highly deformed.
Really new story.
What?
Deformed nuclei been around for a long time. Right?
Yeah.
This is more deformed.
Well, okay.
So or it's deformed considering how.
Considering the
makeup. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people working on nuclear structure things. But yeah, we can't totally ignore things in physics. You know, I think with that, we might have to call someone in nuclear physics and say, you know, of all the things in nuclear physics over the last 5 years, is this the hottest thing?
Do you rely on this thing that the various divisions put out? Each division, I guess, at least they used to, they asked to write 4 or 5 top stories of the year.
Yeah.
And do you rely on that as a basis for these kind of judgments?
No, by the time they write that up, that's so with hindsight. You know, they do it once a year. We used to run that. That's written by someone else at the American Institute of Physics and used to run in Physics Today. And then we sometimes got complaints about it because people say, you know, we hyped something too much or something. Well, it wasn't we. It was someone else putting it into our pages. So we separated it out because
10 years ago it was the people in the division who put it. Each division made their own choice.
But they didn't write it up.
Yeah, no, we did. I remember.
Oh, did you write it up?
This was 10, 15 years.
Okay,
ago.
I think it's written in house now, okay. But.
Well, it's probably more uniform.
Yeah.
I just thought of another criterion that is particularly important right now, and I don't know how you would do it, but. It seems to me one of the functions of Physics Today editorial choice should be to fight the politicization and the distortion of science that goes on under the current administration. It's a very political statement on my part, I know.
Yeah.
But it's actually a scientific principle to keep it from getting screwed up under it. You know, this guy could get reelected.
So, yeah, and that's a different. I write for the news section, which is called Search and Discovery. And then there's another section, Issues and Events, and this statement by the Union of Concerned Scientists. Ran under that, and then recently they had a story about the Marburger's reply.
But
to
I'm,
it.
I'm not worried about the news side of it. I'm really concerned about the effect it has on the distortion of science. Some of my colleagues are purposely not submitting proposals to what I consider very good people in the NSF because those same very good people are now pushing terrorism connections or anti-terrorism connections in what you propose.
You
propose an atom interferometer. If it's going to fight terrorism, you'll get the money. But if it's, if you're honest.
In NSF? That's, I think that's a story for issues and events. But I mean,
that actually comes into the science, because the science that supposedly or sold as anti-terror, it's completely absurd.
Yeah.
It's not completely absurd, actually, because the interferometers are pretty good for.
No, I understand that.
Well, look, if nanoparticles can be sold by under any rubric whatsoever, I think you could probably. Nanoparticles probably help fight terrorism too. I'm sure you'd find.
Some people think that.
Probably even these little nano things for geckos and could be. Little geckos climbing up the walls. One thing that we did do that comes closest to what you're talking about is a very recent story we did on hafnium. You all know about hafnium, and the hafnium bomb. That our government's spending a lot of money on. Hafnium is a substance for which you can get a long-lived isomer, which is an excited state. And the idea of one fellow in Texas is that you can stimulate the transfer of that down to its ground state with the emission of a gamma ray. So if you could somehow get all the hafnium atoms to coherently. You want the
delays.
You want them delays, right. But there's no mechanism for getting them to do that. So there's some guy in Texas who thinks that, you know, he has evidence that he can stimulate, maybe not the emission by a whole lot.
And
yeah, if you want to go to the battlefield and scrape up all the isotopes of hafnium. But it's they've had Jason looked at it one summer and said, you know, this doesn't make sense. And a group from Argonne redid the experiment, found no evidence of it. But this one guy down in Texas who does the experiments has the ear of a lot of people in DOD, and DOD is spending a lot of money on it.
What is lot? I mean, you're talking billions of
millions.
Yeah, but he doesn't want it to be news, right? He just wants the money.
He doesn't mind having the news.
He doesn't mind.
No, but we did cover that in Physics Today.
But you don't cover that atom photon entanglement experiment is actually somehow another millions and millions of dollars went into quantum computing. As soon as Shor proved that you could break open key codes with it, and I mean, I'm in that field, okay? So I'm not turning down money or anything, but it's clear. It was immediately clear that it was very spooky money. I went to a conference at the National Institute, the Bureau of Standards, NIST, I guess.
NIST, Institute of Standards and Technology.
I can't remember the new name, but I got there late because of the flight schedules. I walked into this room that was labeled the right room number, and it was actually opened up, a double room, and there were twice as many people as I knew were in the field. And the other half, this was in Gaithersburg, the other half of the people, this was the first meeting they attended, mm-hmm. came from the NAS.
NSA, National Security.
I've never been in the field before. I'd gone to the conferences and found it at 3-4 years in a row.
Are they good people?
They fund a lot of research in cryptography.
That's right. Yeah. They connected immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of. Yeah. Established connection, and they got up to speed very fast. But there they were, not on the news, not on the email list.
Mm-hmm. So what is the sign of your comment?
Plus or minus. I'm confused, but I'm worried about it. And I'm particularly worried
that the NSA is involved, or that the scientists haven't been honest, or what?
Well, the militarization.
Yeah.
The method, well, also the direction, the actual direction inside the field, where you don't know why you're being funded. If you're in quantum computing, is your money really coming from the Congress, or is it coming from the military, that's just extra money hidden in the science?
Well, we're getting a little off the topic here, but the question, so I wanted to ask you guys in particular, since this is the Institute for Theoretical Physics, we rarely run stories about theory. I mean, I have a tendency when I get some of these blurbs and it says, you know, I have a new theory and, you know, I've solved this problem, that problem, and then I think, well, you know, that sounds neat, but I'm going to hold off for the experiment. Of course, if we did that with string theory, we wouldn't cover it at ever. But wait, you know, are there some?
The reason is not, it's partly that you do build up press releases, and it is harder to write press releases about theory as well. And the people who write press releases don't think of doing that, and the theorists don't think of doing it. So you know, it's this whole thing we discussed last time, exactly that effort. I mean, experimentalists. You know, when he makes, when there's a discovery announced or a result announced, it's getting less and easier to explain and it's easier to make a press release. And there's something also, as you say, discrete, something happening. Whereas with theory, it's, you know, it's an ill-defined moment.
It's a different field because much of it in its nature is speculative. And you just don't know when you make the discovery, even that it's a discovery that has to do with the real world. And so as soon as we read these articles about, you know, the ectotic universe, and we say, oh my God, you know, why are they printing this crazy speculative scenario? And of course, in 10 years, there's some fraction of a chance that they'll look back and say, yeah, that was it. That was the moment where they discovered this thing, which was later confirmed. You just cannot know at the time.
But are you saying that theorists sort of feel like, I don't want to publicize it because I don't know, or you...
There's this basic problem with the definition of news there, when you talk about these things, may or may not be true.
Yeah, but of course, experiments can be wrong, and turns out I wrote about some that were wrong.
So I think many theoretical developments involve the work, the contribution of many, many people, whereas a news story likes to have perhaps not completely fairly the latest person who's been pushing a particular theory.
Yeah, but often we'll get to the point where we have several groups who have somehow managed to do it at the same time.
Right.
But when you're talking about theory, you say it's the work of many people. I mean, particle physics certainly has a lot of names on the paper. Are you then talking about a sort of a theoretical development, movement?
Where there are conflicting models. So like, take high TC.
Okay, that's a really good example because...
You know, basic new set of ideas that the people are now using that weren't using 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's very hard to say, well, this, you know, exactly, this precisely the few people are responsible, really much more of a communal effort.
But actually, that would make a good, I think if that were happening, that would be a good story. If there were a new paradigm that a lot of people are using successfully and making some headway in understanding, that might make it interesting, as opposed to what I tend to read, or so-and-so developed this new theory of such-and-such.
Right, but well, that's usually the way it comes out.
Yeah.
Well, it depends who writes about it and how it's done, you know. And again, you need to get into the subject to get that far.
Yeah.
I think just the culture again. A theorist normally will not think of, I mean, there are some people.
But
it's not normally part of the culture. I think it's a mistake.
You look at the people that do write their work, you look at the media running after Einstein, you know, 60 years ago, and in most individual cases, it turns out to be garbage, you know, after it's back to work. And that's sort of the nature of theory.
But I mean, take it. Yeah, go on.
One of the problems with the theory is that you really have to know a lot about the history of the subject. If you do experiments, and it, you know, there's something that happens,
and it has not happened before, while in theory it's a much more gradual process.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's probably very difficult to keep track of the history of the subject and to understand how the problem has developed and why a particular step is as a conceptually new step. So it's I would think it's, if you're not really familiar with the field, it's very difficult to work your way into particular subject to that sort of degree.
We have had articles. There was not one not too long ago on lattice gauge theories, and sort of a review of how they're coming along. There were what?
Various people complained that, you know, there was too much of this. On that standard.
But that's But HITC is a really good example, because I did a lot of reporting on some of the experimental work, and whenever the experiments were shedding light on a possible theory, like there was, I did some things when they were seeing some stripe structure, then I mentioned theories of stripes. But I never did a story on any theory, and yet, you know, a lot of people working a long time on HITC theory. There was a time I considered doing a work on writing sort of a review of the different kinds of theories out there, but it just seemed like a
front. Your life might be in danger.
Yeah, it was tricky for that reason. There were so many theories. Where do you draw the line, and which one do you?
Way more useful are the editorials. For example, you know, the editorials Frank Wilczek is writing now, something where just, you know, it's a theorist and he's got his personal bias and he just is right up front about it. But then he can speak about specifics and about history, and there's no.
Well, those are the pretenses. There's no pretense about the new search and
So, I
it's perfectly possible to have things. So, for example, and it partly depends on the reporter. So, you have this new reporter who seems to be interested in doing this.
He has a string theory background.
So he's still, at this point, hasn't given up yet on trying to do this. Well, no, but it's really true, because for a long time there really wasn't anybody who had heard. So he's heard about, you know, this thing of Whitney twisters and Richard accused in string theory, which is an interesting piece of news. Now, who knows where it'll lead? Maybe it'll just be a little. But it's fascinating, and he could, anyway, he asked me whether I should. So I guess, you know, you guys write around to ask, not just about the subject, but whether he should do a story at all.
Right,
and I suggested that he do it.
That he do it?
Do this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's an example of that, and there are a lot of other people involved.
Right,
which I'm sure and I think a lot of people would be quite interested in that kind of thing. It could be done wrong.
Yeah.
It's perfectly valid. But I think it does take somebody who is, you know, it takes a, you have to have more knowledge in the field. I think it would probably be difficult for you to do this. As you say, we're reading the thing. It might be difficult for him to do the ITC one.
In a way that, though, sometimes it's better if you don't have a background in something. Because you realize how little other people know.
It takes more work than it does to just
report. Now, Herb, you had a story about, Herb got called about a story that we ended up not writing.
Yeah.
Do you remember what's the nature of this?
It's the same guy who just called.
No, we all call this team. We should run it, and it does happen to be the same person.
Because the person he was calling about was actually funded on my grant, and a great friend, good colleague. But I was dubious a little bit about the work. It was a new interpretation of the special relativity versus the Galilean relativity transformation of the wave function. And he derived some new things, and he said there might be actual. What happens there, if you don't know the story, is that the mass appears as a parameter in a phase shift, and it gives you conservation of rest masses in the non-relativistic. At least that's when I worked on it. bottom line was. And I had to recommend it, but I had to say honestly that there was a question about whether it was the only interpretation for the results that this guy had developed, and that it was going against the standard interpretation, and it wasn't clear whether even if the experiment had been done, or would be done in the future, that it would, you know, go against one or the other interpretation in deciding the issue.
Yeah.
I think in the end they decided not to run it. They consulted with several other people I heard about.
And has the theory kind of died down? I mean, has there been continued interest in it?
From the point of view, he never got enough interest for the experimentalists to do it because there was too much division as to whether his interpretation was the right one.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's still interesting.
Yeah. There's a related question, that a story that I didn't do, and I'm never know whether I should have done it or not. Matthew Fisher had this quantum critical point. So, you know, he had this prediction about high TC, and you should be able to see these things called bisons. And there was an experiment.
Yeah, that was,
and they did the experiment. It was a really nice experiment at Stanford. Yeah, and it was a really great experiment, but it had a null result. It didn't find what was predicted. So.
Yeah, null results are just as important as something else.
So that was something I probably should have written about.
Yeah. I mean, well, they wouldn't find it, so they did find what was predicted.
They what?
Some people said you wouldn't find it.
No. Oh, okay, that's right.
Okay. Not that the theory was wrong, it just
Yeah.
But, you know, it would have been a good story, actually, you know, if we had somebody here who would have. That happened during a workshop that was pretty exciting. We should have.
I actually came out here and talked to Catherine Muller at the time. She was here at the time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Well, I should have done this story. We live with these regrets.
It still is an important theoretical concept, which enters into all clear thinking.
And it
had this dramatic experiment.
Certainly could have been reported on.
But would have required more work than just the announcement of the experimental result.
No, I mean, many times we do experimental. I think it would have been a fun story to write about, actually, because it was a nice experiment, and there was this definite prediction and many interest. Yeah, so I think I missed a call there.
Yeah, Catherine gave a semi-public lecture at Yale about that reason. It went very well.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if we miss something, we find an opportunity to revisit it. I think.
Well, she's doing the next generation of experiments.
Oh, she is. So she wasn't discouraged at finding no.
Well, you have to know. You know, there's no limits. So
right. I know. Like the neutrino mass keeps getting pushed down. Yeah.
Well, now it's not zero. So.
Yeah.
So eventually, it became. Now it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. What about theories in astrophysics? Are there some that...
Well, those guys do a brilliant job.
I think it's much easier.
But, you know, astrophysicists do a brilliant job, especially cosmologists, of getting theory into the press.
It's impressive.
Over and over again. It doesn't have to be news. It just continues.
But we also have, you know, almost every theory has it. Is also a simulation element.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then once you can get a picture, you're set.
Oh, okay.
Or movie is very good. Yeah. And so cosmology has lots of movies and lots of pictures.
Actually, we've run simulations. Then there have been models of, like, why the magnetic field reverses. I think we had a story about a model that does that. And we things that are calculations that can be compared to data.
I think it's also, I mean, people, the general public has always been fascinated with, you know, the universe.
Yeah.
And so it's fairly straightforward, even with the some remote cosmological theory, to be able to bring it all the way back to something that the public can almost touch.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit easier.
Okay. Any complaints to things we haven't covered? Do you think that there are sometimes that we have stories there that are too trivial? Do any of you ever get this, read something and say, why did they write about this? Or is it usually, if we make it interesting enough, it doesn't matter if it's so significant? I bet if I handed each one of you an issue, you'd find something you didn't like.
I mean, it's much harder if it's something that's far from your own field.
Much harder to judge it, right.
Judge whether it's true
or not.
Yeah, especially to judge it negatively.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one example we had recently, we had, which is probably in there because it was cute, there's peacock feathers. You know why they have the color they do? It's not their molecular makeup. It's they have essentially photonic band gap structure, which is interesting. They're made of these porous little holes with the periodic arrangement, so you light reflects just at certain wavelengths.
Is that just? I mean, is that qualitatively different from a diffraction grating?
No.
I mean, when I read the article, I thought it was a diffraction grating.
Well, photonic band gap. Is the same thing.
I know.
It's essentially interference of light, but
that's what a diffraction grating does.
Well,
isn't it a space grating?
I'm worried.
Isn't it a two or three dimensional grating somehow?
Well, I guess it's three dimensional.
Yes. I mean, it's the same thing.
This also different.
Okay. Yeah, in the same state. There is much
that would be hard put to describe rubidium 87 as a Cooper pair.
Yeah.
There's no pigmentation.
It's not pigmentation. If you have a periodic structure of two materials that have very different index of refraction, then you get patterns of interference such that at some wavelength you can't propagate light through that material. And you get then that light would reflect off that material.
Is that qualitatively different from just making mirrors by using layers of the ultraviolet?
I guess not. I mean, basically, since
the question is, did you write about it because it's a peacock?
I didn't write about it, but a colleague did.
Of course it's
saying. Are you objecting? I think it's an interesting story. Yeah. Okay. Are you objecting to that or to the name that was given to it?
Well, I don't know.
I've written some serious things about photonic band gaps because they have some technological interest. You can make maybe lasers. There was one thing in here about photon. But I think the person who wrote it picked it because it was cute and, you know, it's nature and this is. It's sort of surprising that nature chose to work that way to get a color. And I was trying to think, evolutionary, how did it evolve? I mean,
you were asking earlier about other things you could have stories about.
Yeah.
I guess I think it would be nice to have more stories on theory, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
But not just in particle, but more broadly in condensed matter theory.
Probably theory is more suited for the law.
But, you know, condensed matter theory, the criterion always, well, is it related to experiment? But perhaps, you know, you could have a story on condensed matter theory just, you know, on its own interest, on the extent of the ideas. As opposed to immediate experiment.
What about this question, I mean, this one thing that you put out that's going to be in Physics Rep Letters, exploiting noise to increase profits. I mean,
yeah, that's interesting.
There have been a lot of things like that on ConMat recently, where they have clearly economic stock market crashes and all that kind of stuff.
I just don't
know whether they're, I mean, you never know whether they're important or really interesting or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times it's not really deep physics, but the application is either interesting or important. I think, I mean, now that I've been here and I've seen some, it's not like a specific theory work. Like someone says, I just explained Einstein's, you know, I've just proved Einstein wrong. And that's the most common quack letter we get. if you have a letter that's, I proved Einstein wrong, you know it's quack. It's usually handwritten with misspellings. To show a general trend in the thinking of people. Yeah, there is this trade-off between news and an article, and we do try to have a news peg, but every now and then we'll do something that's more of a wrap-up, and I don't think the reader is...
Theoretical ideas.
What?
New theoretical ideas, not necessarily related to any immediate experience.
Yeah.
I guess my own opinion, I have a hard time calling specific things in physics today. I mean, the good... There are good articles on theory, and they are on the developments where more as everybody agrees, and yes, some great thing was just done.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens frequently enough for that to be my predominant perception. But then there is a perhaps equal number of articles that do have this character of here is speculative idea X, which, you know, conceivably in 10 years will be like, you know, no evidence for it now.
Yeah.
Everybody else thinks it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you're left thinking, well, why did this person get his article? I think that's not the reporter. And I'm not saying that that's bad in all cases, mm-hmm. but that's the case mm-hmm. where I'm bothered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think what Sabir's talking about in terms of like the trend of a whole field to think in new terms, you know, is something that readers of physics today should be keeping abreast of.
Yeah, that's more effective if one can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than someone's pet theory is, yeah. And
the pet theory is okay if, you know, some other, you know, people standing outside say, well, you know, it is a new idea.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah. But the advantage of talking about a paradigm is, you know, a new way of thinking theoretically is it stimulates. A lot of times people say, oh, I got an idea from what I read in physics today. And the other thing is, to the extent possible, sometimes it stimulates experiments. Sometimes people start thinking, you know, and maybe I could see this effect somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well,
I was kind of wondering about something else, because the way discussion runs right now is just that you talk a lot about how you cater the community,
Yeah. Fish
catering, but you got a very strong political element also to shape what people are interested in.
Yeah.
But how do you take responsibility for that?
Ooh. I guess
you know, I mean, your selection basically also biases the interests in the community,
mm-hmm.
where the funding might go just by, you know, putting emphasis on particular things.
Yeah. It's very hard. I mean, all I can say is that we try to be to cast our net as wide as possible, to look at all the interesting things. And I think instead of relying on our own judgment solely, we do rely a lot on people out in the community to tell us what's important. And we just have to do the best we can. We don't like the responsibility that, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, if a person gets an article in Physics Today about his work, then that's worth some funding. And then, of course, someone else doesn't get that funding. And that's a responsibility we'd probably rather not have. But I think we have to be aware of it so we do our job more conscientiously. Yeah.
I was just wondering whether it also affects the selection of theoretical pieces of work, because perhaps the funding is not quite as significant. How strong the lobbying is behind the scenes, you know, when people make suggestions,
yeah.
so that perhaps the theory community is not that strongly represented there either.
We rarely get people pushing a theoretical work, except for the people who proved Einstein wrong, and they lobby pretty hard. So, but were you also, what?
Is it always Einstein who is wrong, or you get other?
It's mostly Einstein. It's relativity. It's the big questions. Nobody ever writes in and say, I have a new explanation for the quantum Hall effect.
But it is true. The converse is true, that if somebody says, I've done this experiment that proved Einstein right, it's immediately the New York Times. I mean, it doesn't matter what. It's true, right? You mean that immediately gets there.
Yeah. Were you also asking, do people change, gear their theory toward where there is funding?
Say again?
Were you also asking whether people slant their work on theory toward where there's funding?
Well, it seems to be that there is an intimate relationship between, you know, you do channel direct the community towards a certain direction. You say, mm-hmm. oh, this is very neat, you know, that's
uh-huh.
a potential application,
yeah.
so everybody tries and get on that back.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering how that is taken into account.
I see, yeah. We just try to be as fair and broad as we can. Mm-hmm. So if you see us going wrong, give me a call. Okay, I think there's probably coffee. Thank you.